I have to tell you that Christmas Eve is my favorite service. It's my favorite service because we really take time to just acknowledge God and acknowledge what Jesus did. So I say thank you to each one that comes out and sets aside that moment of time to just say thank you, to allow the Lord to minister to us, allow the Lord to do something special. And we're a blessed people. We are. And when I say that, I had a car that didn't work this week. I had, you know, everybody has issues. So when I say that, I'm not saying that every time something happens, you got to go praise God. But God has been good to us. Where we live, how we have an opportunity to come to Him. And the reason I say that is that I believe in miracles. And I believe at a moment's time, God can change things. So when you're sitting there and you're going through that and the cars don't work and the bills can't get paid and you're wondering where things are going to change, if you're careful and you're sensitive, God will show you somebody else that has it worse and bring you to remembrance that God's got this and it's good. So thank you. And I mean that. It's not cliche. It's not just something I'm saying. I'm saying thank you for coming out and allowing God to do that. And I pray that He does, that the needs that you have, that they're met. I pray that restoration in family issues and jobs and money and all the things that sometimes can be so distracting. I pray that is taken care of. And I say this: how many are excited for Christmas? Now don't be afraid, kids. You better put your hands up. You know, how many are hoping for a certain something? And you're not going to admit it. Okay, there was one honest person over there. There's two honest people over there. You know, how many remember the gift that Ralphie from Christmas Story wanted? Not just a BB gun. It had to be a Red Ryder carbon action 200 shot range model air rifle. That's what he wanted. Just like Ralphie, I hope that you get what you want for Christmas. That's exactly right. You're exactly right. And here's what I was going to say. If you're wanting like that commercial where the guy goes, I hope I get this brand new SUV, and I forget what kind it is. And then a little while later, they show a picture of the car all wrapped up. And he goes, fingers crossed. You know what I'm saying? If you're wanting that present, you might have a little harder time getting it. And like Michelle said, you might shoot your eye out before you get it, because it's probably not happening. So would you just bow your head with me a moment, and let's just ask God to speak to us and minister to us in just this moment that we have together. Father, I thank you for each and every one that's come out. Lord God, I realize that we are a blessed people in the sense that, Lord God, you care for us. You give us opportunity to draw close to you. And Lord God, I see a world that if we would do that, it would be a better place. It would be less hardship. There would be less chaos. There would be more love. There would be a drawing towards you, and we would be sensitive to not miss the miracles that you provide every day. I pray, Lord God, for those that are struggling at this time. I do. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would do something extraordinary out of the realm of anyone's expectation and minister to us in our place where we're at, and that you would get honor and glory. In a moment, as we just take and look at your word, and we just heard the Christmas story, and as we really look at maintaining joy in a world that wants to just suck the joy right out of us. May we just take a moment to hear from you through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we looked at the life of Mary, and I entitled the sermon "Let's Talk Christmas." And really, if I had to put a theme to it, it really is joy. And I really want to look at for a moment the joy that Mary was able to have, even though she had all of these questions, she had all of these things that stirred through her mind, and we know that, you know, she had questions of who me and how and you know what now and all the other things that would come up in that scenario. And we saw that one enemy of stealing joy is that the anxiety we sense and the fear that we sense that we saw in Mary, that she must have had the same thing going on in her life as God told her to do this miraculous thing, and she had this, "I am your servant, Lord, let it be as you say." And we see that tonight. I want to just look at Joseph and the wise men and see. So the first enemy of joy is fear and anxiety, and we talked about that, and you can see that, you can understand it, we said if anxiety comes in the front door, that joy is going to go out the back door, and that's true. Every one of us can understand that. And did you allow that to set in this morning? If you were here for that message, did somewhere across the few hours while you're racing to get presents wrapped and doing all the things, did you really let that set in, that joy is a choice? It's a character of God, of the Spirit of God, and He wants us to have joy, and He desires for us to live in that realm of joy. And yet, if we're honest, don't you just look at somebody like they're crazy if bad things happen? They're like, "Woo, it's okay, everything's good." Not even this preacher is going to do that, you know. When cars go bad and things happen, you know, it's not, "Oh, praise the Lord, you know, it's going to cost me money," or "Praise the Lord, you know, only 3 tires were bad and not 4. You know, you don't do that. But the character of joy is God's got this. It didn't catch God by surprise. He is going to provide a way. And when you look at the big realm of things, yeah, Lord, I am blessed. And just like anxiety and fear, the second thing that the enemy of joy stealing would be is hurts and resentment. Do you understand this morning that everyone in this room has experienced hurts and resentment? Say amen to that. I mean, can we be honest? It happens. It's a part of life. It goes on every day where someone says the wrong thing, someone treats you badly, someone doesn't do what they're supposed to do, and you're hurt by words. Some are hurt physically, and this world is broken. And I think the main thing that people need to understand when I see and talk to people is this: we're in a broken world, and it's not going to get better till Jesus come back. Do you understand that? That we live in a broken world. We created a broken world by sinning. We created a broken world by not loving each other. We created a broken world by being greedy and all these things that hurt other people. But Jesus came to fix that. Jesus came to be our Savior. Jesus came to take bitterness out of hearts, to keep us from experiencing the hurts by ourselves and replacing it with the joy of the Lord. And He desires us to have that joy. And for a moment, can you think of how Joseph must have felt going to be married to someone that he loved? Going to a person that he's never been in physical contact with, and she comes to him and says, "I'm going to have a baby." But don't worry, it's God's. Can you imagine the betrayal? Can you imagine all of the feelings and the hurts that had to come to this man that his wife-to-be, who he was in love with, and probably still is, even as she's talking to him and telling him that she's pregnant, and his entire world changed in a moment. Anybody been there? Where out of nowhere, something is said, something changes. One minute you're happy, and the next minute you're in a tailspin. For Joseph, one minute he's happy, and the next moment he's deciding how he is going to rightfully divorce this woman that he was pledged to be married to. He was brokenhearted. He was messed up inside. He was, at a spot where he doesn't like to be. One of the things that my wife and I say, she says this. She says she won't allow someone to take her where she doesn't want to go and where God doesn't want her to go. And so there Joseph is really right there. He's in a spot where his heart is broken and just all these mixed emotions is taking him to where he doesn't want to go. And he doesn't know that God has a plan. God hadn't showed him yet. How many have gone through that hurt and wondering, where's God? But he was right where Joseph was there, is that God hadn't showed him yet that he was involved there. He was getting this news, but he had not known that God had already been working, or that the news that he was getting was truly a thing from God. All he could see was that she was unfaithful. So he thought that she was unfaithful, that he was determined so that joy wouldn't be stolen from him. He made by choice, he decides that he's not going to retaliate. He's not going to be bitter, and he's not going to be resentful. When Joseph was hurt so that all of this wouldn't happen in his life, he chose grace. Can you say amen to that? He chose grace. It's got to be the hardest thing for man to do, but the best thing that God does for us. That he chose grace. He chose that he was going to be merciful to her and back out of this in the most godly way that he could. He chose to let it go so that God could bring healing. Say amen to that. And so many people with hurt and resentment, instead of letting it go, but trust me, I've been there. When somebody comes up to you and they say, you know what, just get over it. Just, in a little while you'll forget about it. But at the moment where you're at, that's not what you want to hear. You need God's grace. You need God to bring healing. And Joseph decided that he was going to let that go so God could get healing. He was going to divorce her in a way that would be proper. It would be a way that would bring honor to God. And here, I want you to see this. And I don't think I've ever preached it in this way. Mary was dealing with fear, and Joseph was dealing with anger. And I believe that the world today lives in that spot. I do. I believe in homes that you have some people living with fear and don't know how to deal with it. And then you have some with hurts and resentments. And when you put them together in the same house with God not controlling it, it's chaos. Can you say amen? Chaos in people's homes and the things that are going on. And Joseph had every right to be angry. Amen? I mean, he had every right to be angry, but he chose grace. He chose to do the right thing. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 24. I want to just read a little bit of this portion of Scripture to you. Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Do you see from this morning, the angel of the Lord is ministering to Mary and says, "Hey, this, you're the chosen one. You're the highly favored one of God to bring into this world the Son of the living God." And Mary's response was, "Lord, I am your servant." Joseph, ready to be pledged and married to Mary, gets this crazy news that she's pregnant with a child and that it's God's. And he's angry, yet he wants to do the right thing. And at the right time, God shows up and tells Joseph, "Joseph, listen to me. What Mary is telling you is true. This is from me. You're going to be the father and the father of, and bring this child up, the son of the living God. You can take Mary as your wife." And in those days, you know, people break up all the time. Go together for a while and break up. But when in this period of time, when they were betrothed to each other, it was like a marriage. You literally had to divorce. You literally had to go through this, because once it was on this stage of engagement, it was considered law. And here, God's grace is there for us to see. God's grace is an example here, because he chose grace. He chose not to rub it in. I can picture some really doing that ugly. He decided he wasn't going to shame her. He would not publicly embarrass her. And my question to you this evening, boy, I'm telling you, don't know what day it is. Who or what event hurt you? And like I said this morning, to understand what's stealing your joy, you have to identify it. So who or what event hurt you? You can't have resentment and joy in the same heart at the same time. One has to push the other one out. Resentment doesn't change the past. Can you say amen to that? Resentment doesn't change the past. Resentment doesn't stop what happened. And resentment with revenge will not make it better. And Joseph here is learning a lesson. But here's the part that I love. Right out of Scripture, it says, "But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared." I love that. Joseph made that decision before the angel told him what was going on. But after he considered it, that he was going to do the right thing in the right way, God revealed to him that what he was thinking wasn't really what was happening, and that the plan that they originally had was now to move forward. Mary chose trusting God. Joseph chose grace. And I want you to know something. God doesn't keep it dark forever. Say amen to that. For Joseph at that moment had to be a dark time. It seems like it lasts forever, but it's not forever. It just seems like it. He tells Joseph what's happening, and again, Joseph takes his bride and begins to move forward in their plans. And the third enemy of joy is confusion. Confusion will suck the life out of you. You know what I'm talking about. You know, confusion will take joy right out of your life. It will cause you to go into this tailspin. And if I had to really say something here. I think the number one question asked of any pastor is, what's the direction for my life? You know what I'm saying? They come with that question, you know, what's God's plan for my life? And I really want to look at them and go, why don't you ask God? I know God's got something for you, but why don't you ask God what it is for you? And then the second one is, what do I do in this situation? I could picture if Joseph had a pastor, it'd be like, what do I do now? Okay, let me pull something out of Mount Sinai here and tell you something. But the best way to get those questions answered is to see the Lord Himself on that. Can you also picture Joseph being confused here? What do I do now? And then the shepherds, they're over in the field and they're confused, like, what's happening here? So God has all of these people going through different things at different times. And can you imagine being in the middle of a field? And if you ever saw any kind of films with Israel and that, I mean, you know, there must be miles and miles of fields, and they're always looking to find somewhere to graze their animals. So they're out in the middle of nowhere doing what they do, and an angel lights up the sky and tells them where they can find the Christ child. And then you look at the wise men following the star. If the star went left, they went left. If the star went right, they went right and followed it through. And then you think, if you look at Matthew 2, just looking at verses 1 to 3, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When you stop and you look at this, you know, I want you to understand something. Wise men still seek God. And over lunch we were talking, and the wise men are off to the side, and they weren't right at the manger, because it took them a couple years to find where the Christ child was. They were seekers, and I want you to understand something. Seeking God is a good thing. Say amen to that. Seeking God is a good thing. It's being honest. If you're seeking, I believe you will find. I believe God will give you the answers that you need. I believe God will speak to you. But if you don't seek God, you take away that opportunity. Say amen. I mean, you've got to be seeking Him, you know. And the star is one way that they illuminated, and they followed it, and they knew what they were looking for, but they didn't know where to find it. So that's why they were seeking it. And my question is, how many are willing to seek God until they find Him? How many would be honest if it got to be a year, if it got to be close to 2 years, how many would still be seeking God, even though they knew that that is what they were supposed to be doing? How many would be willing to journey out of their comfort zone and allow God an opportunity to even minister to them? How many would be more like King Herod? When you stop and thinks and talks to these wise men, and, you know, they when you find the Christ child, you let me know, and I want to come worship Him too. When it was a lie. When really what was in his heart is, you guys are looking for a king? I'm the king. We got to put a stop to someone else proclaiming to be the king. I'm the king. And if you really took that to really today, it would be, I don't need a savior. I'm my own boss. I do my own thing. I'm not going to let someone tell me what to do. So I pray tonight that anyone that doesn't know Jesus would at least seek and would be willing to allow God to shed some light to them and allow God to do something extraordinary. See, here's my last thought on this. If you're really seeking, I really believe you're going to find him. I believe that with all my heart, because I believe God will not return void on anything in our lives when it concerns him. If you're seeking, you're going to find him. Here's the thing that I would warn you about. If you're really seeking him and you find him, the negative side of that is some won't like it. Some will be offended that you found Jesus. Some would be offended that you've changed. Some will be offended that you have such enthusiasm for God. Some are going to be offended that you no longer do the things that you used to do. And some are not willing to have their lives changed. And you tie God's hands when you do that. I want to end by just this. This world is so divided, and almost every main issue is right down the middle, 50%. It's looking at, you know, if you say right, they say left. But I do want to tell you this, and this is how I'm going to close. Jesus is the answer for fear and anxiety. Jesus is the answer for those things that are going on in your life where you have hurts and hang-ups. Jesus is the answer for confusion as you're going to seek him, because he's going to bring this peace that you're desiring and you don't know how to find. I found the words of an old song. I don't even know the name of the song, but it caught my attention of the words in one chorus. It goes like this. It says, "Bow at the manger, make it thine altar. Come now to Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Bring every burden, let hope not falter. Wondrous salvation shall be thy reward." Isn't that good? Bow at the manger this holy night. Jesus will be thy Savior. He'll be the light. Would you bow your head with me? We'll just say a prayer, and then we're going to just transition right into the candlelight part. Lord Jesus, we do stop and just take a moment here. And I do pray that in the midst of us gathering together for worship, that we would be seekers, whether we're newly Christians, whether we're seeking to become Christians, or we've been a long Christian for a long time. I pray that each one of us would be seekers in the sense that we want to know you better. We want to know you more. We want to go to that next level. We want to allow you to do some extraordinary things in our lives. And Lord God, I pray that for those that struggle, that this world has just sucked joy out of their life, I pray that tonight, Lord God, would you bring joy into their lives? Would you bring your peace? Would you take away confusion? Would you heal hurts and hang-ups and resentments? And would you allow us, Lord God, to take our fears and our anxiety and lay them at the feet of Jesus? And as we just take a moment to have this candlelight time, Lord God, I'm asking that even while we do that and we sing Silent Night, that, Lord God, you would stir within our hearts, each and every one of us, in a fresh and creative way. In Jesus' name, amen.